We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Feedback will allow us to provide work on various fixes and improvements. I'm interested what the six questions are, right? Because if the form is...
What flavor shit cake do you want? Yeah.
Yeah. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the podcast, a show dedicated to talking about all the poggers things in life, like music, content creation, and gaming. I'm one of your co-hosts, Jesse Kazam.
I have a confession to make. I did yesterday refer to you as my second wife.
In what context?
I need to get out in front of the tweets.
Yeah. It's coming. The controversy's coming. You got to get your side out.
There's going to be mail somewhere on the way. Some sort of cease and desist. No, but I was talking. Someone came in to chat and it asked, you know, kind of just about like what my plans have been, you know, lately and going forward. And one of the things that I had said was, and one of the questions they asked me was, are you like sick of talking about Tarkov on the podcast?
Mm.
And I had actually brought up, I don't even know if this is something we talked about, maybe on the Patreon, okay. The whole, like, remember the Nick Merckx phone call?
Oh,
with his wife?
Yeah.
I don't know if we talked about that offline.
We did talk about it on the Patreon. Yeah, I think we did.
And, you know, just how it was, you know, kind of shitty. Obviously, it's a whole complicated thing we don't have to get into, but kind of the vibe around like not being actively showing like either sarcastically or directly or indirectly like a lack of interest in the thing that your significant other, partner, whatever, is interested in. And I had said like, no matter what, like by definition, anything my wife is interested in, it could be fucking Dance Moms.
Yeah.
It could be work stuff. It could be, you know, like book club. She has like a book club that she like runs.
Yeah.
And I don't fucking read books. Like I don't sit down with a book, you know, like she does.
Yeah.
But I'll sit and listen to her talk about it.
Yeah,
all day long, and it's not like I have to like force myself. Like I'm just interested.
Yeah,
because she's interested, and I kind of said that it was the same thing. I was like, Jesse's kind of like my second wife, and that like I actually don't.
If someone comes
into chat and I'm playing a different game, and they're like, "Yo, what do you think about this Tarkov?"
Yeah.
And this,
yeah,
and I'm like,
yeah.
I don't want to fucking hear about it. Like I don't care, right?
Yeah.
But the fact that you're interested in the game to whatever degree, and you've got stuff going on that happens with you, I'm just inherently invested in like hearing about what's important to you. You know what I mean? Like my second wife.
Yes. Wow.
I get you on every other weekend and I think the third Friday of every month. And then you gotta fly back down.
Summer's coming, so the schedule gets a little wonky, but you know. That's funny. I get it. I mean, it's like in the same way that like I would never go down a rabbit hole on my own of the Billy Mitchell stuff or Trackmania or chess because that's just out of the scope of like, I don't have, you know what I mean? I'm just, but to be able to get a distilled, like, kind of like, you know, blitz run of like a super deep, you know what I mean? Like narrow and deep into whatever it is you're into. It's like fascinating and I love it and I eat it all up, even though I'm not going to go, you know, look up track many of it is or whatever. It's same thing. It's like, it's a peek into, you know, something else.
Can you say part the kimono anymore? Maybe that's, I'm not sure.
I hope so.
I don't know if that's a thing. I don't know how anything works.
Can you say part the kimono now? Oh, man. Now,
for the longest time, I didn't even know kimono was like clothing. I just thought it was like a curtain.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Look behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure it's like a thing you wear, in which case.
Oh, it is.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. So maybe that's another fucking cease and desist on the way.
Yeah, yeah. We're just racking them up, dude. Go subscribe to the Patreon before our podcast gets canceled.
Yeah.
Yeah, goes to, yeah, to the peepee. Yeah, the kimonos gets parted all the time over there.
Yeah, we'll be streaming on Rumble next week.
Oh, God, bro.
I think that's what it's called.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Is that where everybody goes where they get canceled?
Let's kick. We'll kick and Rumble, kind of.
LOL.
Anyways, I know that last week we kind of ended the podcast with talking about Gray Zone because I, from the outside, was just like, we saw the IGN footage drop. Since then, we had got confirmation that basically a group of content creators got to play and a bunch of them posted their actual gameplay and impressions. And you were alluding that you had some behind the kimono information.
Yeah. Yeah. I got flashed by,
Madfinger Games.
Mm. MFG. So I was one of the first few folks. I don't know how many there were.
It wasn't a lot.
I want to say like, I don't know, 10 or 15 or something people that got the initial access, the early access.
Yeah.
And so one of the content creators that I don't know if we talked about them, but Rilo, who, by the way, is somebody that I don't watch Tarkov content really much anymore. But I got like kind of eye roll baited into clicking a video because I'm like, what is this? I'd never heard of Rilo.
Yeah.
And was just in the first like 20 seconds was like, what the fuck? Like somebody who actually has like editing chops making a Tarkov video. Like that's something I haven't seen in a hot second outside of like your like new
long
stuff that
form.
I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just the kind of stuff that you'd see in like video essays where it's constant text popping up and really cool effects and stuff that I kind of dabbled with back in the getting Tarkov stuff. And I have to say, like, I was instantly impressed with the quality of his content. And he was actually one of the, it was me, Rilo, and a guy called Tactigamer, I believe.
And I know him.
We were like the first
like squad
to get in. So initially what happened was we basically went in with the devs. It was a bunch of us all in like one server, and they like took us on a tour of like the town.
Oh, that's cool. Like the FOB area.
They walked us through and it took a while to get all the settings and graphics and stuff underway. And so they took us on the tour, a little bit of a tour, and kind of walked us through some of the details of like the initial quest. Now we basically got in the helicopter, you know, flew over to the landing zone, landed, got off, like kind of crossed the like there's like a farm kind of area, whatever. Yeah. And then all of a sudden we hear bang, pop, I'm dead. And it was Rilo. Rilo was the first one
just immediately
to die
in Gray Zone Warfare.
Yeah, the first Gray Zone Warfare casualty. And I was literally, he was standing right here. It was just like, like out of nowhere. So I was a party to that. So yeah, we get to play. I played for, I want to say, like 3 or 4 hours on one day. And so there's a whole bunch of stuff. I don't know, maybe like I can give a rundown of what I think is sort of the most significant thing.
Yeah.
From my perspective, which was, why didn't I make any content about it?
Yeah.
And then maybe if you have some questions,
yeah,
I can answer whatever. But so the reason why I did not make any content about it was, if anybody follows my Twitter, they'd see a few times in the last month or two, I keep saying, like, I need a new fucking gaming rig. Like, Jesus
oh, yeah.
Christ. The gaming rig I have now, it's got like a 9700K and a whole bunch of other stuff. Like, it's not like low end. It yeah. was high end 6 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I won this gaming PC
oh, yeah.
from the NVIDIA Stream On competition.
Yeah, you did with, who was your Giant Waffle? Your,
yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Who, this was before he got canceled.
Yeah. Oh, wait, did he get canceled? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It was like not him. It was someone else that was.
I mean, it was him. But here's the deal.
I missed something.
He literally he never talked to me.
Okay,
that's the whole behind the scenes thing. Like, the whole thing was supposed to be the big names are supposed to like mentor you and walk you yeah. through everything and support you. He like tweeted out once, like retweeted the competition thing, and otherwise, I was like, you know, when can we set up a thing? And he fucking ghosted me.
Nice.
And then I went to meet him at TwitchCon. Like that oh, year yeah. afterwards, and I was like, "Hey, dude, how's it going?" And he was like, "Yeah, yeah, cool, man." And he shook my hand and just like ran
he
away.
Who mega lulled you? Just like didn't even realize. Damn,
I don't. He just I don't know. He's busy or fucking I whatever. So
I am okay.
But anyway, we just went like three layers down. So my PC is like 6 or 7 years old,
mm-hmm.
and it's legit like. On its last legs. Like, I'll be playing Lawnmower Simulator, and if I tab out and then tab back in, I get like a headache from like the frames, and so it's got issues.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was green screening, or no, blue screening, not green screening, blue screening constantly.
Oh,
playing
when
Tarkov
playing. Oh, yeah,
back
yeah,
in the
yeah.
day. So it's got issues. Now, playing Gray Zone, which is super, super early access, like
yeah.
a pre-alpha kind of situation. Obviously those games are, I mean, look, like Tarkov isn't even like optimized
no.
and it's like a billion years old, right? At
yep.
this point. So the build that we were on was already like weeks behind
yeah.
their latest build, but long story short, the game was not running great for me on
yeah.
my machine, and coupled with my recording setup, it just looked like shit.
Yeah.
The game didn't look good.
Yeah.
And I felt as though a bunch of the other content creators that I talked to, they were, you know, they were getting 40, 50, 60 frames. You know, they were getting low frames
yeah.
as well. And, but it was like reasonable, you know, palatable for them.
Yeah.
And I was getting like, 20 to 30
yeah
sometimes less you know when I would be like scoping in with like a 25x scope and whatever and basically because it felt like my situation was an outlier
yeah
and I what I didn't want to do is everybody knows I'm perfectly willing to shit on a game
wait
to
what?
Be honest. And, like, I'll be totally honest, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I also recognize that it would unfairly
yeah.
represent
yeah.
what I actually have faith is a much more stable performance
sure.
product than would have been shown in my gameplay.
For sure. If you tried to run Tarkov on a Steam Deck, and then review its performance based on that, you would review that it has bad performance. And even though you're right, it would be fair to criticize that that's not a fair review. So it's
yeah.
like other people, that did reviews or that did first impressions were like, ooh, the performance is rough. But you were like, I was in a situation where I can't come out and be like, I was only getting 11 frames per second when lawn mowing sim chokes up. So yeah, that makes sense.
And I couldn't, and I had two options, or really three options. One option was to not do anything.
Yeah.
And I think that was, I want to say like the selfless option. I mean, yeah. I'm not trying to like toot my own horn, but that was me being like, I had a really big opportunity to be one of a very few people to present this information.
For sure.
I could have, if I was a shithead, I could have spun this in a way to make them look bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody loves when like, I'm going to be the bad guy. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to, you know, whatever. And I could have done that. Right. And I probably would have gotten mad views.
Yeah.
So I could have done that, or I could have released the video and basically not said anything.
Yeah.
In which case it would have been to anybody paying attention to the gameplay or looking at I have my frame rate counter like Steam always on, right? So it's not like you can't see that I'm getting, you know, 27 frames or whatever.
Yeah.
So it would have just been like, I would have lost all credibility. Like, how did you not talk about performance? We all saw how choppy it looked.
Yeah.
So I opted to go with, you know, the option of not going to release anything. And effectively what I told them, I gave them a ton of feedback. There's a big long form, a whole bunch of shit about a lot of different aspects. And I talked with them pretty closely. And basically they'd said, obviously they were aware of the issues. A lot of the things that I talked about performance wise, they were like, our new build, this has it sorted.
Yeah.
So I just felt like it wasn't worth it. And
it's good to hear, though.
Effectively came to the conclusion that, okay, the next time I get access with the performance changes, hopefully by then, I don't know when it's, I forget exactly when it's going to be. I would love to have a new PC by then. If I have a new PC and or they say, we've made a bunch of optimizations, you shouldn't have a problem anymore, and I do have a problem, then it would be worth
talking about,
discussing. Yeah. Because my machine, granted, it's old, but there are a lot of people that aren't running 9700Ks with 3080s.
Yeah.
You know, sure. Like, it's not top of the line, but it's also not...
It's not, you know, slouch.
Yeah, so...
For sure. Now, that being said, I want to know, like, so it's hard because... Based on, I've just been coping for, I mean, I've been coping for this game. I watched everybody's. I watched Drewski's video. I watched Clean's video. I watched Rilo's video. I watched Big Fry's video. I've been watching all the videos. So I have an understanding that basically you guys were just doing like one mission, like this rat's nest mission, which is hard because like what the question I want to ask is like, okay, Veritas, level head on his shoulders, understanding it's an alpha build. What I want to ask is just like, how did it feel? Like, how does it get you excited? But even then, kind of knowing what I know about the mission, it's like so much of the game just wasn't there in terms of like, there was no threat of PvP. There wasn't really a ton of exploring to do. You could go around this area and do this mission, but like, you didn't have the whole map or something like that. So not a whole lot, but knowing that you did get at least a part of that gameplay loop of like being in your fob, your faction's fob, infilling via heli, completing a mission, exfilling via heli back to the fob. Like, how does that like, did it just get you excited when you were walking around, or were you like, okay, we'll see once things come along, you know?
I think that there's a couple parts. I don't really have a true sense of the scale of the map, but I can say that from the fob to where we were, you know, going in and out from that scale, the gameplay loop, especially with a squad dying, which to me is the most relevant thing, is a complete and utter game changer, like night and day.
Okay, so like the concept of being able to die and it not just like deflate the balloon. Like, you know what I mean? Instead
when
of
when I die, it's like adrenaline turns on now.
Mm.
Before it was total deflation. Now it's like, shit, gotta get back there.
And that's crazy. Okay, this is legitimately, sometimes I feel like I've beaten this whole thing to death, the gray zone, but I'm just so excited for it. But I legitimately hadn't ever considered what you just said or the thought that came after that. Which is, we've talked about before, we talked about, I think, last week on the podcast, the excitement for that, where it's like you die, and instead of the expectation being your squad, like, we were very briefly today, at the end of today, we were doing four-mans with me, Hambino, Valiant, and JBB, which was chaos, but you just kind of sign up for it, right? And it's like, one of us dies or two of us dies, and it's, in 10 seconds, it's like, what are you going to grab? Like, there's just the expectation of, like, everyone's raid is over. Like, you guys loot us. You'll finish that one fight. Loot us. What do we need? And it's the same thing. You know what I mean? Like, when I am the guy that lives, they don't have to be like, I just know. So we've talked about the flipping of that. But what I hadn't considered was what that unlocks potentially, right? We're coping here. We're talking about a game that doesn't exist yet. What that unlocks potentially is, what we talk about, or what I feel a lot of times in Tarkov, is just like there's no, and it seems more increasingly recently, there's no like energy state difference. It doesn't go from like, you know, low energy to high energy adrenaline to bottom out energy. Oh no, I'm dead. Because the one taps are so much, the scav one taps. Sometimes it does that, but a lot of times it goes from medium energy straight down. You skip it. And sometimes I feel like that. I died to Birdeye today, and we were like, just one shot to the face, you know what I mean? And we were talking about that, where like he doesn't have any footsteps, so I wish he would like miss, because he had a bolty. He didn't have an RSS. It was just, I was full sprint, SJ6. I was moving as fast as I could. He's got a bolty. He doesn't make footsteps. He's moving around. I just fall over dead. And it was like, there was no chance for that energy state to go up, for me to get shot at and him miss, or me to get shot in the arm. And then that then the adrenaline goes, and then maybe I lose the fight or I win the fight. So I hadn't even considered where like gray zone can kind of come in and stay that hardcore experience where you can get one tapped. Because part of me was almost hoping they would increase the time to kill. But with what you just said, it almost doesn't matter if they do. Because even if you get one tapped, you can actually still get an adrenaline pump and think, oh my God, what am I going to use? I got to get back to them. They have to hold down the area. I got to get back to the situation, you know? So that's kind of like, interesting.
In the time that I got back, and granted, I only did this like 3 or 4 times. So I was like really slow, didn't fully understand. Yeah. I'm like, what medical items do I need? Like, didn't, because there's like a surgical kit, there's like a blood thing, and like, I didn't have a full grasp on, an intuitive grasp on all the different elements of like, what do I need to take in with me?
Yeah.
So, but in the time it took me to get geared up, call the helicopter, ride the helicopter, land, and run over to where they were, they would like heal, reposition, call out some like, you know, they'd get involved in like another gunfight. They'd kind of move over a few houses or whatever, and I'd meet up with them.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't...
It wasn't like they had to sit for 30 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah, it was... it's really hard to say. I could probably check my video, recorded footage. But, I mean, less than 5 minutes for sure.
That's cool.
And
that'll scale depending on where you are on the map. I know that like the mission you guys were doing wasn't too far away from the FOB, you know, kind of intentionally so that they could scale down the map and or whatever.
Yeah, so, but if the distance though is like 3 times further, let's say.
Yeah. It doesn't take 3 times longer.
It doesn't take 3 times longer because the time it takes is the time it takes to get geared plus to a time it takes to call the heli, to ride the heli, then to land and get to where you are. The heli ride is like
the only thing
maybe
that
going to be maybe twice as long.
Yeah.
But that's only a fourth of the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it really isn't. Now, again, maybe all the other places have like a landing zone that, and then like the relevant points of interest are like much farther away.
Yeah. Maybe.
I have no idea. But all I can say is that in one raid, one of us died twice. I died once. And that was like one raid. Like the raid was an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like a raid. It felt like it was honestly like DayZ.
Yeah. Yep.
Actually, it felt even more accessible than DayZ because you can kind of sort of pseudo fast travel to like nearby.
Yeah. Yep.
So honestly, it's completely game changing and it's the type of thing that would, now it's too early to tell.
For sure.
But it's the type of thing that would make me play that over Tarkov.
For sure. 100%. It's a fundamentally different engagement with the game. You know what I mean? Like that's the number one thing. I mean, we talked about it before, more than like the guns or the AI or the missions or the map or any, it's just the thought of like a Tarkov / DayZ style experience where I'm just in the world forever, where you can like, you can maintain the momentum of your play session however you want. You died to AI doing a quest. Maybe you didn't even die to PvP and you can go back and try it again. Or you can decide that was too hard of a mission. I'm going to do something else. You can get a friend. You know what I mean? Your friend hopped on, then you go back. You can do whatever. If you died in a PvP fight, maybe you don't. If you die in a PvP fight, I think the idea of like being able to come back to your body is going to be like a controversial thing to like the, you know, depending on where you come from. If you're a guy coming from DayZ, it's like, this is like, you know what I mean? It's almost like a standard practice. If you're coming from Tarkov, I know a lot of people have expressed their frustrations with that. And I get it. Like I get it's a decision and some people won't like it. And I really understand that. But I think that when people talk about it, they come at it from, like, especially when Tarkov people talk about it, they come at it from the realm of the amount of PvP that's in Tarkov. You know what I mean? You go into a raid, you either die or you've gotten into like five PvP fights because player scavs count as PvP. That's another player and they're playing like a player. So that's PvP. So you go into a raid, you get into a fight, you win that fight, you get into another fight with players, you win that fight, you get into a fight with AI, you win that fight, you get into a fight with the player scav, you win that fight, and then you extract. That's, you know, potentially that ratio is definitely going to be skewed way more towards AI. So I think people think about it like there's PvP fights happening all the time in every single PvP fight. Everybody's just going to be coming back. And it's like if you're solo and you run into another solo and he kills you, like he's gone by the time you get back there.
Yeah.
If it takes 5 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes, and he's just going to loot you up and run and you have no idea what direction he's going. But it'll create cool moments. Maybe you don't go like right back to where they were, but maybe you try and like cut them off. Maybe you like make a call. Like that's something that I loved. Once again, from an outsider's perspective of like DayZ, watching like JLK videos and Sour Sweet videos and stuff like that, is like sometimes you make a gamble. Sometimes you're like, I felt like they were coming from the West. I'm going to go this way and hope I can cut them off. And when you land it, when you see them, you're like, oh, that's so sick. You know what I mean? I like that concept of being able to react to the environment and the world around you a little bit more. So
what, one thing worth actually mentioning that I hadn't really thought about until you said that, but you know, the whole idea of like getting back to your body and getting gear.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that there was a bug to where your own body wasn't visible to you. So like, so at no point was my like excitement or like the benefit was never getting my gear back.
Yeah.
It was just
getting back
play
to the fight
with my friends.
Yeah. 100%.
You know, it's like playing a fucking elimination game.
Yeah.
And then having to sit on the sideline because you were the first one eliminated. Yeah. How you just not involved.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure it was a bug, but if that was like a built-in feature, I wouldn't even care. I wouldn't even 100%. Be mad if you couldn't loot your own body.
Yeah.
But other people could.
Yep.
But
everything I'm excited for still applies even in that scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So there were a few other things that like I took notes of. I gave them a ton of feedback on a lot of little UX things. all the like super anal, but I think extremely important details.
Yeah.
I know a lot of it they've like already addressed that like wasn't, you know, but I didn't know what they had done in the new build,
of course,
what they were planning,
yeah,
what's on the restore. I just like gave all of it to them. There were a couple things that I wrote down just now that I wanted to mention. The first was that I actually really liked that what they basically said was, we have this idea that this game is going to be like a tactical kind of slow paced sort of thing.
Yeah.
But we don't care how you play it. People are going to play it however they want, all kinds of different play style. They said, play however you want to play. If you want to run around Call of Duty crazy, we're like, yeah, play how you want to, because we want to know how it feels.
Mm.
And that was like, it was, there were a lot of things like that that were just like encouraging.
Yeah.
Because they, and they had made some kind of joke that was essentially like, we want you to have fun. Like,
wait, what?
We're not Russian, okay? We want you to have fun. So I just thought that was cool. I just thought that was cool and encouraging that they sort of had that mindset.
Yeah.
And then coupled with that was the guy who's like the Nikita equivalent, the head honcho over there. He basically said to me directly, the Veritas, yeah, I want you and everybody else here to go, because there's a shooting range in the FOB.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
To go to the shooting range and to test out,
yeah,
the guns, tell us how they feel.
Yeah.
Because they had watched and followed the whole saga following my like recoil video.
Yeah.
And I'm paraphrasing, but effectively they saw it, they liked it, they took notes. There's a lot that they, I don't want to say learned, because
yeah,
I'm not like patronizing, but like there was a lot that they took away from that they,
yeah,
have applied. And
yeah.
Yeah, it and I have to say the recoil actually did feel pretty good.
Oh yeah.
There was only one minor thing that, and I feel bad because I don't remember if I had asked this or if I had talked to, it might have just been like to the guys I was playing with or not.
Yeah.
Because I ended up having to leave a little bit earlier than I wanted to from like a play test. And then I don't think I followed up on this particular detail, but at least at the time, there was no hold, like shift to hold breath.
Oh, okay.
And again, I don't know if it was just like we haven't done it yet,
yeah,
or if
yeah,
they aren't, or if they're not planning to, or if they're going to, or
yeah,
if it was a bug. And I don't remember the details, so don't quote me on that. But I will say that if it, I very much hope it is.
Yeah.
Because if you're sitting there and you got a 25X and you're like,
yeah,
you're just going plink, plink.
It kind of feels plink, like it has to be, right? Because the whole point of the game is huge open world. You know what I mean? New fights can happen anywhere. They've got scopes in the game early. Like, you know, what that opens up in terms of like sniping is huge. Like, you have to be able to take those engagements, you know?
Yeah. And that coupled with, so the optics were fucking awesome, dude.
Oh.
I love the way that they look. So, like, if you have, I don't know if it was the Voodoo or,
yeah,
I fucking forget, dude. I'm so out of the loop that, like, I don't, yeah, remember what's what anymore. One of those. One of the variable optics, and it was like 1x, 3x, 5x,
oh,
7x, 10x, 12x, 15x, 20x, 25x. And it was just like, I was scrolling the scroll wheel, and it was just like click, 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 click. And as you do that, the reticle would like go like this. And then another,
oh,
one would kind of like appear.
Oh,
because
yeah, that's like how that
basically
works.
How,
yeah,
it works.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it was so good.
That's sick.
It was so good.
What I saw, it felt like the scopes were, like, in Tarkov, when you ADS with a Voodoo, like, there's not much peripheral vision, because it takes up so much of your screen, and it felt like they were small, and my knee-jerk reaction is I don't like that, because I'm so used to just, like, whoosh, you just have so much vision, but I felt like they were all pretty small.
it was actually, I in Tarkov, I wanted everything to be the size of the screen.
Yeah.
I very much preferred that. I can't describe how or why. I'm going to need to go back, watch the video. There's something about the way that it was that wasn't shitty. Like when Tarkov had it, so they redid everything and it was really small. It's just like, what the fuck? Mostly because I think like the sight picture and the amount that the variability.
Yeah.
It just
felt right.
It just felt right. And also one of the things that they did that they were open to, they're like, we're not sure about what we're going to do. We may tweak it or whatever. It had to do with, because basically it like blurs.
That's what I was going to say. They've actually shown in their own marketing, I believe there's been some inconsistencies. At one point during the trailers, it was full picture in picture. Yep. And then at one point it was like zoom with like a blur effect, like a Gaussian blur on the outside to almost mask the fact that it's not picture in picture anymore. And it's fully zoomed in, but it kind of blurs the edges. I wasn't sure what was actually in the playtest.
Yeah. So that's what we had. And again, I don't know like what it could be totally different the next time anybody gets a chance to play it. But it wasn't, the optics actually felt good.
At the end of the day, that's all that matters, because if it feels good and it feels intuitive as somebody with 10,000 hours in Tarkov and understands the shortcomings and limitations and frustrations with the optics in Tarkov, if it looks weird to me as the watcher, but you're like, it felt nice. Like I kind of take that. Obviously we could, that's a subjective thing. We could disagree, but I definitely, that is encouraging. The being able to zoom and stuff like that is so nice. So nice. The number one thing, because I've been hopping around, like lurking in people's streams. I was in Hutch's chat and he was watching, you know, some of the dev interviews. I was like in everybody's stream, every time on my stream too, every time anybody ever is at all viewing Gray Zone Warfare footage, the number one comment is, the guns look so tiny. Tiny guns. Guns are tiny. Did that feel, dude, everywhere in my chat and Hutch's chat and freaking Tiggs's chat, if you know, whoever you're watching that's watching it, people are like, the guns are so tiny. The guns are tiny. The guns are weird. But nobody's video, Drewski's video, Tactic Gamer's video, Jack Frag's video, nobody's video talked about it. So I was like, is it just like an FOV thing? Did you not even notice it?
I didn't even notice. That's so funny, bro. Now, there's a couple different things.
A million times.
So, there's actually a low ready.
Yes.
So when you aim and then you like unaim, you're like high ready. And then after some delay,
you go into low ready, which is sick. Yep.
Now, there were a few things. I don't know if it was Rilo or who it was that was talking, because we were kind of in a group, in a big group in the Discord. Yeah. At one point, somebody was basically saying that they wanted to have some way to like high ready without having to aim.
Oh, without having to ADS, they just want to take it from low to high ready.
If all of a sudden you hear like, you know, footsteps,
you
don't want to ADS with your 12X. You know what I mean?
True.
But you want to high ready. So, and they, again, I don't remember what they said, but.
Yeah,
that was feedback that was given to them.
That's interesting. It kind of makes sense, honestly. If you've got a 12X and you want to point fire somebody in a situation, being able to just adjust up from low to high ready would be kind of cool.
Yeah. So, so there was that. There was also the. Okay, so this is the only other thing that was a problem for me. That is kind of, it's like inseparable from the performance issues.
Okay.
I think it's, I'm trying to be careful, right? Because I know so many people have waited for so long and they like hang on every word.
Yeah.
And I don't want to like misremember details. There might have been stuff that they, that were like bugs that they fixed. It might have been something that was partially related to like me having to, because I was fucking around with a lot of graphic settings, trying to see if I could make it work, right? Because kind of under the pressure of like, okay, you know, we're gonna go on a raid now, and it's
now
every time in the build that we were on, basically we would have to like restart the game when we'd make graphic settings changes.
Oh, okay.
So and there's a lot of different options, and it's like, I don't know which ones are going to make things look bad, which things are going to fix in performance, and you make a change, and you have to restart the game to see, like, what was the change, and then if it's like, if it isn't good, you got to do it back, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And those are all just, like, alpha early access stuff, okay? Yep. So, like, it's, I don't expect that these are going to be issues that people are going to have, but coupled with the performance, I had major visibility problems.
Okay, interesting.
It's so hard for me, and maybe I'll pull up some of the screenshots, because what I was doing, I was like, guys, I can't fucking see anything.
Yeah.
And it
yeah.
was like, kind of like, you know how in Tarkov you can't see shit?
Yeah.
It was like that, but kind of different, but also worse.
Interesting.
Like, I would have a 25x looking at somebody 60 meters away, and I'm like waiting for them to move before I would.
Interesting.
Now, I want to say, I don't know, does that game have Lumen? I don't remember. I don't remember all this shit.
Yeah.
The game was gorgeous.
Yeah.
Outside, absolutely gorgeous. There was something that they fixed, I'm almost positive, having to do with, like, the lighting, where you go inside and it was, like, really dark.
Yeah.
And I think that they're like, yeah, we've already addressed that in a build.
Okay.
But let me pull up a couple of screenshots.
Yeah.
Because I was literally getting screenshots and I'm like, guys, this is like, pull out this gun with this sight and ADS towards this thing and tell me, like, what you're seeing. And it definitely
looked weird. I noticed in some of the people's videos when scoped in, like when scoped in with magnified optics, like it felt like the anti-aliasing was crazy or something. Like, obviously red dots or hollows, it was just 1x, but I noticed that in a few other people's videos too, where like they were 5x or 12x, and I'm like, oh, that looks weird.
Yeah, so here's one of the screenshots. Now, again, this was like in the middle of me switching around 75 different graphics settings.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like,
yeah, it just
this is me zooming in. Like, I couldn't see.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I couldn't even see the reticle.
Oh, yeah. That is kind of dim amongst that lighting. Oh, yeah. Especially when you zoom back out. Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, this is basically what I mean, you can't see the proportion, right? Because it's like small. But yeah. I'm like, why? Like, why can't I see?
Yeah.
So, and I have a couple other examples. let me see. Okay, so then Rilo also, so Rilo sent the screenshot, and it was kind of the same thing. I think that was just a specific thing with that optic, where, like, for some reason that was really dim, but I don't know if it's like the same kind of thing with, like, Tarkov, how it's like shit's too blurry or too bright or whatever.
Yeah.
It might have just been whatever the issue was with the anti-aliasing and, like,
yeah,
the scaling, yeah, where it was, yeah, like,
it's hard to determine from your place that playtest. Is it like is it a setting thing? Is it a lighting thing? Is it a thing that they kind of already been fixed? Is it the way that they're rendering optics and it's, you know, indicative of a bigger issue? Like, it's hard,
yeah,
to just, like, make that judgment.
And then here's another thing. Do you see anything?
Oh yeah.
So there was just a bunch of ghosting.
Yeah.
And again, it was one of those things where I was like trying to kind of in a rush. You know, it's kind of like, all right, everybody, the bus is leaving. And you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Where I'm changing settings, changing anti-aliasing, doing all this stuff. There's DLSS. There's all this NVIDIA. Yeah. It's like so many settings. And I'm like, what should I do? My computer's kind of fucked, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of ghosting with a number of the settings. So between getting like 20 frames,
yeah,
having this kind of weird ghosting that I wasn't sure, again, if it's like I just had the wrong setting or whatever.
Yeah.
It wasn't pleasant for me,
yeah,
to play. And it actually did detract from the experience a little bit.
Of course, yeah.
But at the same time, again, I recognize that it's probably a combination of super early access shit that most people are never going to experience, that people watching this don't need to worry about. Like, don't be worried about this.
Yeah.
Don't say, oh, it's going to be bad. You know, like, just wait until the next thing comes out. And
because that's largely your determination. Like, what these tests are for, right? You know what I mean? So, like, it's good that they're testing it and taking feedback. It is interesting because I didn't hear or see anybody else provide that feedback in their videos. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean they didn't notice those things, but, you know, maybe it was you were struggling a little bit more. And then also, it's understandable that that for sure detracted from your experience. I remember when the Battlefield, whatever the current Battlefield game is that's in right now, I remember whenever that game launched, they did the beta and I got into the beta and it kept blue screening my PC. And it was like, I say that to say I get what you're saying, where you were like, everybody was criticizing Battlefield. Like, everybody was like, I don't know if this game is going to be it. But when my opinion was asked, it was like, I hate this game. I can't even play. You know what I mean? So it's like, of course it filters and skews your, like, ability to enjoy the game when you're like, even if you're the only one having the issues, you're like, dude, I can't see anything. Like, I'm getting 11 FPS. Like,
yeah, I was getting bad performance. I was having major issues with visibility, but just as like a developer, I recognize there's been times where I've worked on something, given someone a build, and all of a sudden they're like, it just crashes, it doesn't work, and I'm like, okay, like, just let me get you another build,
and everything will
be fine. And then you get them a build and they're like, okay, this is perfectly fine, right? So I'm just, with all of that being said, I am actually really encouraged from what I saw at first, and trust me, it's a lot easier for me to be like, yeah, it's just another dog shit game that's going to fail. But I don't think that.
For sure.
I am encouraged from what I've seen and from talking to them. For sure. Let me give you one more example. So this was actually Tactic Gamer. So here's another example of
scope so tiny.
Kind of the FOV. This, it does look tiny.
It's way tinier than the screenshot you showed. So maybe it was an FOV thing or something.
I don't know if this was a slightly different scope than the other one. It might have been, but also FOV definitely made it an impact on the way it felt. But
also, it definitely is picture in picture then, huh? Because that, I mean, that's 1x outside, like,
I mean, that's what I meant. Okay. Like, when I said blurred, so like, this is what it's like. Now here's the thing, whatever this is, if it's anti-aliasing, if that's like sorted out, then I think the optics are going to actually be fucking sweet.
That looks like tree.png through that.
I mean, because even like that, you can tell there's just something fucked up with the anti-aliasing. So now keep in mind too, like, imagine there's like a guy standing there. Like, you just wouldn't see him. So like, I was not, there would be people that would run out in the middle of the road. They'd like stop behind like a Humvee, and I'm like, I don't know where they are. And then all of a sudden, I would realize they were standing in front of me for 30 seconds, and I never saw them.
Yep.
Because of, again, I think some of these minor things, but I actually do think that they'll feel good, assuming they sort this out, and assuming you can hit shift to fucking hold breath.
Yeah.
Then actually, it would feel really good.
Yeah. Because what we're talking about here, you know, to make scopes that are cool and feel good in a video game, a lot of things have to come together. Like we've talked about, like the lighting, like the graphic settings, but then also the scopes and how they look and how you manipulate them themselves, right? So what you're saying is that, like, what works really well. The scopes feel good, they look good, they're fun to interact with, but some of the other things right now maybe aren't working as they should. Some of the graphics things, some of the anti-alias things, and if we can... You know, it's like different in Tarkov. Tarkov's picture in picture works great, but then it has other issues with the scopes. You know what I mean? So it's like, we have these ingredients. These ones feel really good. These ones need work. It's encouraging that these feel really good, because if we can get these other ones feeling better, then the package is going to be really cool and fun. But obviously, if this doesn't get sorted out, it's going to detract from the whole experience.
So I mean, it's weird to say, but like, those issues are so important.
Yeah.
That there's no way they're not going to fix them. So, like, I'm not even worried about
it. Yeah. I understand.
There's no way that anybody could play the game if it was like what my experience was.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I can't fucking see anything.
Yep.
For sure. So I really do think it was a combination of me kind of fucking with the settings constantly, my system being a little jank, and us already having a super old build.
Yeah.
So that was
okay.
Largely that.
I've got some questions. I've got some more like questions and stuff. But really quickly before we move on to some more Gray Zone stuff, I do want to take a quick second and thank the first sponsor of the cast tonight, and that is BetterHelp. Somebody that we've been working with for a long time that we're super excited to keep that going. BetterHelp is an online platform where you can get counseling or therapy. You can get linked up with somebody that you feel like you can connect with. And it's one of the most important things, whether you're dealing with a relationship with somebody else that you want to get right, or even just your own life introspectively. Therapy is not just a cure for a thing. It can be, if you're going through something, having somebody to talk to, but it can be a preventative measure as well. You know, I was in therapy with my wife for 3 years, and like 2.5 of those years were after what we had, you know, gone to therapy for, the stigma of you need to go to therapy, that had been resolved, tied up in a bow, and we kept going because it was just such a valuable thing for us in our relationship. And BetterHelp is a super convenient way to do that.
Yeah, it reminds me of the conversation that I had on that we talked about last time with Gino, talking about mental health, and how he had said something along the lines of, not everybody needs therapy, but everybody should have a therapist.
yes. Yeah.
There have been so many times where I'm like, I don't feel like I'm having any problems right now or whatever. And it's incredible how you sit down with somebody who is invested in like your wellness.
Yes.
And how that unlocks something in you that basically allows you to just talk about the things that you need to talk about that you're interested in. And there's always something that comes out of that.
Yeah.
That I think is extremely important. And again, it could be anything from depression to, you know, issues with your friends, marital issues, work, trying to get motivated. Yeah. There's so many things, and even my personal experience with dealing with a therapist through BetterHelp was probably like little bits and pieces of almost all of those.
Yeah.
You know, dealing with motivation, dealing with depression.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff like that. So
for sure. It really is crazy how like we tiptoe around each other so much because our culture is so just like slam dunk. You know, everything we say, we're just worried somebody's going to come back with something. And so the like just kind of subconscious defenses that fall when, like you said, the way you worded that, which is like having another person that you're aware is invested in your wellness. There's just something that comes down. You know what I mean? I'm not worried to getting slam dunked or quote tweeted or whatever. It's just like that. They might be like, well, what do you mean by that? And it like, so, for anything, whether you're just trying to figure out how to get more time or figure out yourself or any other relationship, BetterHelp is great. It's all online, which means a lot of the logistics of getting therapy are super easy. Finding a therapist, switching therapists if they don't jive with you, making appointments, all that stuff, super quick, super easy. So you can learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/podcast today to get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/podcast. Thank you so much to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. A few other just like random things that I wanted to like get your opinion on and stuff like that. How long did it take, if you ever died, how long did it take for you to, when you died, for you to respawn? Not necessarily respawn, get back to the fob, gear up, blah, 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 blah. But like how long from like shot to the head to eyes open back in the fob do you think that was?
Like seconds, if not instant. I don't know. Like there's no, literally the only loading screen you have is we'd select like the server selection.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, loading into the game or whatever. You show up at the fob, but after that,
that's so sick.
I don't know. It's kind of hard for me to say.
It's like the, you know, the meme, the British mind could never comprehend, or like the American mind could never comprehend. It's like the Tarkov mind could never comprehend dying and then being back in the video game 5 seconds later.
Yeah, let me, what I'm going to pull up. I'm going to see if I can pull up one of my clips. I kind of wish I could share it, and I probably could. And I mean, I don't even know if I haven't shown anybody this footage. I don't know if that's something that we'd even want to go through or anything
breaking
like that.
News.
Cause I absolutely could.
Well, I got some questions and things I want your thoughts on, but yeah.
But yeah, I'm trying to see if I can find where I died, and feel free to ask the questions, and I can like search through, to see if I can find it, because I can answer that question for you. I only died, I think, twice.
Giga Chad. How was the medical system? How did you feel like that was? Because, like, the animations are cool, but animations don't do anything for me. You know what I mean? Because, like, it is what it is. I'm glad that, you know, there's enough realism that my hands are busy, but I don't want it to take 6 months for me to get over my tummy ache either. So, you know, we have that animations. They look, and I don't even say they look cool. They look great. But like, how was the medical system when you got shot? Was it like, did it feel debilitating to get shot? Did you feel like you had to fall back? Did you feel like every time you took any damage, you had to do like 50 heals? Were there moments where you took shots, but maybe you made that Tarkov decision? Like, what I think Tarkov does great in its healing system is that sometimes you can ignore it. Like, if you get shot, you can like, you can be like, I got 3 heavy bleeds, but I need to kill this guy. You swing, you kill him, then you fall back, you make the heals. Or did it feel like if you got shot, you had to run away or you were dead? Obviously, all work in progress, but just like, what was the vibe of healing and the healing system in the game?
No, I never felt like that. I never got one tapped. Now it was happening to
others.
So I won't say like it. I think maybe I just got lucky. It's complicated because I actually still don't even really fully remember what all of the things were for.
Yeah.
And this is something that was communicated. There was some kind of ambiguity where it was like, okay, I've got shot. You could see on like your body,
like where
the injuries were, and like I could like click and drag medical items like on top of the thing, and then like sometimes it would fix the thing, sometimes it wouldn't, and I admit like I probably wasn't paying attention.
I understand
when they explained those particular things, because we were all they're talking to us about stuff, and we're all fucking dicking around, knifing each other in the fob, and like throwing grenades and whatever. But at no point was there anything like you have a limp that like gets in the way.
That's what I was gonna ask. I didn't see in anybody's footage, whether they were shot in the leg or the arm or the whatever, in the balls, I didn't see anybody limping, and I hope to Christ that's intentional.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't remember. I don't want to make any promises. Because, you know, I didn't experience all the things.
Yeah.
But I just checked, by the way. So it said I died. A screen popped up that was like, you died. There's a respawn at camp, and I just hit the button, and it was like 1,000, 2,000. I'm back at camp. So yeah,
beautiful.
Basically instantaneous.
Beautiful.
One of the cool things there, because I probably didn't answer your question. I didn't fully understand what all of the injuries were and what medical item was associated with. Like you learn in Tarkov, bandage goes to light bleed, tourniquet goes to heavy bleed. I didn't have that mapping yet
to learn that. Yeah, if you're new, for sure.
But you have basically like a blood pool.
Yeah,
like a it's kind of like your total HP sort of thing. And then there's a number of different sort of statuses. It's weird because there was a lot of overlap, sort of like technically, conceptually to Tarkov.
Yeah.
But it felt totally different.
Yeah.
I saw people
CMSing stuff. And in Tarkov, I'm like, well, it's not blacked out. Why would you CMS it? But they, you know what I mean? It is different. Just because the things in the game are similar doesn't mean the feeling of the system is the same.
Yeah. 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 For sure. Yeah, and it's hard. And again, it's hard for me to say just because I don't remember what's what. There were a lot of times. Sure. So here's another thing that was probably just a sort of a temporary thing that is probably not relevant to any future play sessions. But regardless, I gave the feedback that you could use a medical item at any time, go through the animation, consume the thing, whether you needed it or not. So, like, there'd be a time where, like, I would have a bleed, I'd drag a thing on top of it, I'd wait the time for the animation. It was like, that was the wrong thing.
Oh, yeah, fascinating.
Yeah, you know,
yeah.
So all of the hectic shit going on there, you know, kind of made it so that, but that's a skill issue, I think. It's partially a skill issue, partially a UX thing.
Yeah.
That at least now they're aware of. And, you know, we'll see where it goes. I will say the cool thing, though, was that you having the ability to heal your teammates.
Dude.
It just makes it's a totally different dynamic.
Yeah.
Because, like, it was almost like sometimes if someone's fucking around, they go to peak, you know, they go get shot or whatever, then they kill an AI. I'm like, they're kind of doing nothing. I could just like kind of walk up to them and like,
yep,
sort of work on them.
Yep.
You don't have to drop shit on the floor.
Yeah.
For them. It was nice. Although the same issue kind of existed with like knowing what to choose. Actually, although
for sure.
I vaguely recall you couldn't use things on them that they didn't need.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Like I'd walk up and like, oh, I'll heal you. And I had like two or three different things and like they were all kind of grayed out. So yeah, I kind of hope they just apply that to you.
Did you see any of the like incapacitated stuff? I saw in some of the footage, like you could go unconscious, but not die. And then your teammate could heal/revive you.
Yeah, no. I don't know if it wasn't in or not, but any of us that died, we died. It was usually the headshots.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Interesting.
But I can see with the way that the game is, I've like never fully like grasped or really thought about Tarkov unconscious states. I don't know.
Yeah.
For some reason it just always seemed stupid or absurd. Maybe that's because I don't play with squads in Tarkov. I feel like I'd play with squads more with this game than Tarkov, and I can't really articulate why. Actually, well, I think it makes sense now why, because you know you're not stuck on the sidelines basically.
Yep.
So it's just less cumbersome and annoying, especially as a streamer.
Yep.
But what the fuck was I talking about?
The unconscious state and thinking about how that would be
right. Yeah. So it just, I feel like it would be super, natural to be like, oh, I'm unconscious. And they'd be like, okay, you know, I'll get to wherever you were. There's like a little mini map that you can pull up with like a hotkey. And there's a couple of, it was really cool. There was a couple of little UX things that I suggested. Like, I wanted to be able to put markers down on the map and have my teammates see them.
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't do that.
Yeah, like, let's rendezvous here. You know what I mean?
Like, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, if we were a little bit more RP tryhardy, we probably could have been like, let's rendezvous at, like, 37A.
Yeah, three
quadrant.
Clicks west of... Yeah.
You know, whatever. Now, I also don't think that you could. There was no way to like zoom in that map, the little quick map, which would be nice to be able to like zoom it in because sometimes, you want a little bit more granular detail. But it was nice. It was a nice quick way
for sure
to basically be able to like find your homies. You'd just be running, and then you hit the button, and you'd say, "Oh, okay, I got to turn left a little bit." Yeah. You know, like,
see, that's the thing. So, like, speaking of UI, I liked, or maybe not UI in terms of like design, but UI in terms of like the building blocks of what clearly they want you to see and not see. I personally loved the compass. It seemed super minimal.
That was the next thing I was going to say.
It seemed super minimal and was always there. And I just like, I've wanted that in Tarkov for a while. The compass that we have is unusable. Nobody's ever making call outs using it. And, you know, it's just by that tree. And the compass there seemed clean and simple.
The only other game that I've ever played with other people regularly with a compass like that was like OG PUBG.
Yeah.
And I loved it. It was instantly intuitive to where it was like,
yeah,
we'd hear like bang, bang, bang. And they'd be like, oh shit, I'm getting shot. And I would be like 185.
Yep.
And it was just like, boom. Right. Like,
yeah,
it's so nice. Not like over by the blue, whatever, you know, like it's just so fucking nice to have that.
Yep. And so you talked about the minimap. We've talked about this in length in Tarkov, so I don't want to talk about Tarkov. I just love that I can press a button and I have a minimap. You know, I actually think in some of the dev blogs or in some of the footage when, like, with the other creators, when the devs were in, they actually referred to it as, like, the Blue Force Tracker, like, which is, like, that's a real thing. There's, like, you know, in Ready or Not, you've got the little PDA. Like, this stuff is real. And I loved that. I loved that there weren't teammate indicators in the game. But if you hit the map, you see where your teammates are.
Yeah.
I love that. Like, it just felt good. You know what I mean? It felt like the game and the HUD was clean and nice, but then you have the ability to, like, kind of find where your teammates are, which just felt, I don't know. I liked it. I liked the way they did it. I liked that the map, I liked the mini map. I liked the information that is being displayed there. Maybe the UX or the UI of it can change. Maybe it can look nicer. Maybe there can be more features. But as far as the building blocks of, like, obviously what type of information they want you to have and what type of information they don't want you to have, I liked what I was seeing personally. Yep.
For sure. That was definitely helpful a couple of times to be able to, like, hit the minimap, look at my little chevron is pointed towards that little, okay, that's you, right?
Yep.
There were, related to the visibility things, there were a few times where I'm like, is that, I can't tell. I couldn't tell. The AI had some pretty funny, I don't even remember what they were saying. Some of the times they'd speak another language, and the other time they'd be like, hey, yeah, fuck you.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Into the room. And I thought that was kind of neat. Fuck. There was something else that I wanted to talk about that I forget now, but the AI, there was definitely a vibe of, like, you shoot, you're gonna get swarmed.
Oh, interesting.
Which was palpable. Like,
yeah,
you pop a couple of shots off and you're kind of like, we gotta go, which I think is a really cool kind of thing.
Yep.
You never really feel, from the beginning, we realized that, like, we weren't safe. Like, at one point we went in, we, like, cleared out this, like, little, like, lumber mill area, and we were just like, one of us died, and we were just, like, hanging out by, like, his body, and then, like, you know, his gun was kind of, like, floating there or whatever. We were just kind of waiting. And all of a sudden it was just like, boom, turn, and there's a guy, like, right next to us. It was like, oh shit. And it's one of those things, like, I don't know if I didn't hear them, they ran up on me, if they spawned there, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I was kind of sort of half paying attention while I'm looking through the menus.
Of course, trying to change settings. Yeah.
Trying to learn the game, trying to figure out, like, you know, where on the map do I need to go? Let me read the quest again. Did it give me a hint as to where I need to go? You know, it's just like a lot of things that you're doing where you're not, not everything is natural.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you're first driving, you're thinking about, like, your hands on the steering
which
wheel
and I got a gas pedal.
And, you know, and I got to make sure I got, you know, the windshield wipers and all this. Whereas after a while, it's just automatic. Right. Yep. And I wasn't like that with this game.
AI was definitely the most consistent feedback given in the videos from people that played. Just being
what,
like,
did they say?
Just like the, you know, they would just kind of like stand there. You'd shoot them three or four times. Like the pathing was weird. They would just like walk back and forth, strafe. Sometimes it felt like they were taking 10, 15 shots. Sometimes it felt like they were, you know, you could one tap them. Just that kind of stuff, which I understand. And here's the thing. So I obviously very hyper critical of the AI in Escape from Tarkov because of how it can make or break an experience. I think in a game like Gray Zone, more of the weight of the game is placed on the AI than Tarkov. Because we're talking about, so these are the stats that are like on the website, right? These things might change, but 42 kilometer squared map, 48 players, 1,000 AI. That's their goal. And they've been really clear. This is a PvEvP game. PvP is there and you can go chase it if you want, but PvE is going to be the main threat. They've put a lot of time into the PvP, I think, or the PvE. I think the PvE is really going to be a huge distinct factor against something like DayZ, right? DayZ, there was a lot of downtime because there weren't as many players, but there was only one AI type and it was the zombies, right? And so this, you've got different AIs, you've got different factions of AIs, you've got different difficulty of AIs. So they have stated that, so I think even more of the game hinges on are like, how do the AI function? And I think every game for the past 10 years has said in their marketing, like, our AI, they're going to make ramen noodles and it's going to be too spicy for them. And then they're going to have to go, you know, take a Pepto-Bismol and they're going to live their life and they're going to get married. You know, every game is always talking about how intricate their AI is. And then you get in and it's like the No Man's Sky meme, it's like the T-Rex running around, you know? So it's hard to take what they've said, some really cool things about the AI. They've said that there's like an emotion and confidence scale where if they kill one of you, they will be the ones close will be emboldened to push and be more aggressive. But if you kill three or four of them, they will retreat. Like, so they've said some cool things, but the other side of that coin is like, everybody says cool things about AI. So we really gotta nail it. It didn't like, in all the footage I watched, it wasn't like, oh my God, the game is ruined if the AI is like this, but I could definitely see some of the frustrations and inconsistencies. They're funny though, when they're yelling at you, that's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, my biggest thing with the AI was just like, I couldn't see them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So if you're looking down a road, right, and there's like someone shooting and you kind of see them sort of run behind like a Jeep or whatever, because of the issues I said before.
Yeah.
I would like scope in, couldn't steady, and also like really couldn't quite see, so I like wasn't sure. Yeah, I'd go like bang and I'm like, well, I don't see them anymore, did I kill them?
I
don't know. And then all of a sudden you'd see them like run a couple of feet, like, oh fuck, no, I didn't kill them.
Yeah.
And you know, they'd be standing there, I'd be like bang bang, and I'm like, fuck, I'm missing. Like so it definitely, part of it was me, part of it was
for sure
that build. They weren't, if anything, they were on the dumb side.
Yeah.
Which I would rather have.
Yeah. And that's makes sense because that's the low level AI. Like they've talked about before how there's going to be basically all the way down.
I think we fought like a mini boss.
Oh yeah. I heard about that. I don't think I saw any of the footage of the boss, but there was a boss. But yeah, basically, as I understand it, what you guys were fighting were like the like just low town criminals. But there's like actual organized factions and militias and better armor, better gear, better guns and stuff like that. So that, you know, yeah, you know, I agree with you. You know, I agree with you on that. If anything, err on the side of dumber, a little dumber than you think they need to be, then a little too aggressive because it can, you know, really ruin an experience. But so much is different about Gray Zone and how you interact with the world that maybe, you know, that those sliders can be tuned a little bit differently for sure. But that was just some of the feedback. And once again, I understand it. If it really is going to be a more of a PvE focused game with that threat of PvP there, then they do kind of have to nail that a little bit more. But
yeah, all I can say is that it wasn't the AI wasn't a pain point.
Yeah, that's good
for me. Maybe if I maybe I would have played a little bit more confidently and been run around a little more, and then maybe I would have experienced. I don't know. It's hard to say.
No, I feel
there were a few times where it was like there were a couple guys in like a market. We were out on the street, and there was kind of like an almost like an archway sort of opening into like the parking lot.
Yeah,
and I kind of was like, I hadn't died.
Yeah,
so I kind of was just like, kind of want to like experience that. So I was playing a little stupid.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where, like, I felt as if I could sort of just run across the street. And I'm sure I was rolling the dice, and I probably was lucky, but it always felt like I could run by, and I'd almost definitely get shot once. And I would just be, like, consume a little bit of a thing, get back up to sort of full, I'm good.
That's dope.
It's hard to say. Now, I will say another thing. I'm sure they got a bunch of feedback on. I'm sure they're going to tweak. I don't know how temporary it is, but you know how I've talked about like in Tarkov, how I wish like the food and water was like, I wish it was slower.
Yeah.
The Gray Zone was like Tarkov times 10.
I've heard that.
It was more important to have drinks and food than it was bandages.
Yeah.
You know, it was like 5 minutes and you were down to 20% or whatever. Now, granted, there was shit all over the place.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like, I hope they tone it down.
I've heard that too.
I don't want it to feel like I need to collect fucking Red Bulls, you know.
And it
all
felt
the time.
Like, people were saying like you almost needed an entire backpack full of food and water just to stay afloat. And I get that, like, you know, I think somebody mentioned it's like, well, it's, you know, it's super hot out there. And it's like, okay, you know, like that's one of those realism things to me where, once again, what are we trying to do? Are we trying to create this giant game world so that you can go be in it and live in it for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours? Or are we trying to, you know, make me feel like I'm dehydrated after I ran 20 feet, you know? So that was something that that I heard as well. So there's like a few, I know there's some other non-Gray Zone related things that we want to talk about, but I have a few final like questions and thoughts on Gray Zone. But before we do, I do want to take a quick second and thank the second sponsor for the podcast, and that is Athletic Greens with AG1. I first started taking AG1, like even way separate from the podcast, a little over a year ago. I just feel like where I'm at with my health journey and my life, my diet is that of a 12-year-old. My diet is what I wanted my adult diet to be when I was 12, and that's not a good thing. You know, it's Starburst jelly beans and Hot Pockets, and I don't know. I was just feeling bad, and so I actually tried AG1 and had a really good experience with it, which is why I was excited to partner with them. It delivers your daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's super simple. Just one scoop, mix in water once a day, every day. It's nice. It legitimately made me feel better. And even when I was talking with the Athletic Greens people about this, like for me, it was a great stepping stone in my health, something that I could incorporate that's simple and incorporate into my life every day to feel better, which encourages me to then eat better and feel more better and eat better. And actually, like, you know what I mean? It's not, even when I was talking with them, it's like nothing in the health world is like, just do this and you're healthy, just do this and you're perfect or whatever. And they don't even claim to be that, but it's a great, simple thing to incorporate into your routine that, for me personally, genuinely felt like it made an impact. It's nice too, because at one point I had like bought out of desperation a bunch of stuff. I had like a multivitamin and magnesium and omega-3s and all this kind of stuff. And it's just nice to have one thing, that you can use. So it's awesome. Every batch goes through rigorous testing, so you know it's safe. Their AG1 ingredients are sourced for absorption, potency, and nutrient density. So it's been a really good experience for me, and it's been cool to be partnered with them. So if you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/podcast. That's drinkag1.com/podcast. Check it out. And thank you so much to Athletic Greens for sponsoring this episode. So the last few things, and then we can talk about some other non-Gray Zone things. looting. I know you guys probably didn't do a ton. You know, there probably wasn't a ton of depoing at the stash. Once again, focus testing. You guys are trying to get your figuring out the settings and get the game and do the mission and yada, yada, yada. But the reason I bring this up is because, in my opinion, this is the one of the single biggest sticking points for every other extraction shooter. The cycle, in my opinion, the cycle had so much potential. It was a super fun game. It was dog water looting. It was so bad. Their backpack system, it was all weight based instead of like slot based. So you would have a backpack full of stuff and you would put a gun in your backpack, and then you realize you have to, the gun weight took up almost the entire weight that your backpack could carry. You had to throw everything on the ground. Like, these games are looter games. It has to feel good to loot in these games. Marauders, The Cycle, Dark and Darker, all these other games, which I'm not saying they're bad games or whatever. To me, Tarkov is still the king inventory manager, which you spend almost all of your playtime in the inventory, so it should feel good. And I will say that I had a few concerns after seeing some of the Gray Zone footage. So what was your experience with, like, looting? How did that feel? And a perfectly acceptable answer is, like, I wasn't really paying attention. You know what I mean?
All I did for looting was, it was guns and ammo.
Yeah.
So, like, I actually felt like I was playing gun game.
Yeah.
So you have a gun in your hands and then a gun in your back. And actually right now, I don't think there's like a way to swap. So you kind of have to like throw your gun on the ground and like,
oh, interesting.
Like, and drag it over. I'm pretty sure that that's just like a temporary, you know, thing that they had at the time. But I would go, and one of the times I brought the wrong ammo. I was finding because of it was basically only AI, and it was hard to see and aim at them.
Yeah.
Given the things I already talked about, I was going through ammo pretty quick.
Okay. Yeah.
So like, I would have my decked out fucking AR kill 12 AI, and it was like, pick up the AK, grab a bunch of mags, use the AK, kill the guy, drop that, pick up this guy's little scorpion looking thing, use that for a while, kill him, pick up it. Like, it was literally playing gun game.
Yeah.
So I didn't have a ton of experience looting much of anything other than medical items, food, and like guns and ammo.
And to be fair, we don't yet know how big of a effect looting will have on the game, because what I don't know because and I think they told you not to show this stuff, which was like the fob, the traders, what was for sale, what was money, how much money did you have, how easy was it to make money, how do you make money, is money the only currency, like, those are really important questions when we talk about, and I obviously don't say anything because we're not supposed to know, but these are really important questions when we talk about looting, because in all of those other games that I mentioned, The Cycle, Marauders, Dark and Darker, at least what they were trying to do was similar to Tarkov, where like you have a bunch of random bullshit that's assigned a random rarity value, and then, you know, reverse engineered a bunch of quests. You know, today's quest is go find 10 printed circuit boards, and then you go in and sew those games, which I'm not even saying that's a bad system. It's like that in Tarkov, I like it. But what the problem was some of those games did that system with bad inventory management. And so it just felt like the inventory was clunky. It was always full. You couldn't take anything. What was valuable? What am I doing? So not knowing those questions with Gray Zone, like there's a world where it is what you loot is mostly just guns, ammo, consumables, and you take those back and fill up your stash, and maybe the game is less focused on money and buying things. We've criticized that a lot in Tarkov. So much, there's 473,972 items in Tarkov, and 473,900 of them are just different ways to make money.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, this is 5,000 rubles, this is 500,000 rubles. So maybe Gray Zone is different than that. It's not like that. And maybe you're not buying as many things, maybe outside of medical or attachments, and it's more focused on finding things and then building up your stash that way. And that would affect, you know, how big the backpacks would need to be, blah, blah, blah. But I will say I was a little concerned. I was watching Tomographic or Tactigamer or someone's video, and it was like their inventory was a backpack that looked huge on their person that, in my opinion, was too small of an inventory than for how big it looked. It,
I'm looking back through some of my footage to see.
It was full of water, food, and ammunition. There were no available slots in his entire inventory. And to me, I'm thinking, that's not good. You know what I mean? I go into Tarkov Raid with an empty bag. I got my ammo and I got my meds and I'm ready to fill. I'm ready to loot up. I'm ready to depot things to my stash. And it was literally just ammunition, mags, food, water. But if you looked at if somebody else from other person's perspective, it looked like he had a huge bag on. So that kind of, I'm a little, and once again, very early, there's a lot about the economy that we don't know, but it had me little, I was like, ugh.
I don't think any of us had enough experience to know anything about money or there was, I'm pretty sure that like when we, the first trip we went on brought stuff back and I like put a couple of guns that I think they were probably like one of my teammates like guns like in my inventory. They give you a bunch of stuff to start with, almost kind of like similar to sort of a press kit kind of situation. And it was like, and then they're like, okay, we're going to restart the server. We're going to do everything. So like our accounts just got like reset again.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like there was no idea of like accumulating anything.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And I don't remember. I don't recall other than the quest item, there being anything else to loot. But again, I don't know if that's by design or now when I think about Tarkov, and having a big bag and filling it up with stuff, that personally is my least favorite part of the game because it's junk to sell to turn into guns and ammo.
Yeah.
So I kind of actually liked that everything in my bag, it's not to bring back. It was like a means to an end to survive
for
now.
Sure. For sure.
So it's hard to say.
I get that. But you know, what's the point of the survival? You know what I mean? What concerned me was that, like, I don't even know if you could do this. But, you know, there was the one gun slot. There was the gun slot on the backpack. Like, how much space did a gun take up in a backpack? Because, once again, even if we go through it in that lens, it looked like if you soloed a four-man, you could take it. It looked like it would have been the Cycle Frontier where you could take one gun and you had to go.
That was, yeah. So what,
even if we take out the bullcrap looting and we do just say, okay, it's gear, but can you take any gear? Could you fit in like two armors and two guns in those backpacks or was it, you know?
No. I mean, so like the again, I only have a limited
for sure for
what
for sure,
I have.
For sure. I'm just saying those
I
are
had
more
like
my concerns.
Armor, chest rig, and backpack. There was there's a belt.
Yeah.
Pockets and then their safe pouch, which was basically an alpha container, right? A 2x2.
Yeah.
The belt had a couple of single slots.
Yeah.
Now, the important part was that, like, magazines and medical items and, like, grenades, you had to be in either your rig or
your belt.
Your belt or your pockets. It couldn't be in your bag.
Yeah.
Which makes
sense.
Which
makes sense. Yep.
But the ordering of it was a little bit weird because the pockets were like below the safe container. So it was kind of like it just wasn't, it was close enough while being just different enough that it was a little confusing. But I mean, like my bag was like a 4x4. My chest rig was like a 3x4.
Yeah.
So the chest rig was less annoying than like a Tarkov chest rig, which is like a two slot. It was just like a 3x4. But no, I mean, other than I did put like a scorpion.
Okay, in your backpack
or whatever. Yeah, whatever that gun is. I forget the fucking.
I think it was a scorpion.
I had that on my backpack at one point with like a couple of magazines. But yeah, I mean, killing somebody. Looking at my inventory now, all I would be able to take is magazines, ammo, and a gun.
Yeah. So when we talk about that, you know, because I definitely agree, like we were saying, you could go at it different ways. And I definitely wouldn't mind a change of pace with the economy where the world, game world, is just littered with a complete random stuff that all just serves the purpose of get enough of these things and sell it to buy a gun. But even if we go the route of you're just looting largely gear, that's what you want to take home. I think where a lot of the games have failed is the not being getting a feeling like of being able to make a big haul. You know, like that's something however I criticize DayZ's UI and they're like how clunky the player controller is. They're one of the only games that mother flipping nailed that, dude. You can have like, I love, and I wish Tarkov would do this. There are backpacks that have like special slots. So if you find a radio, you can put the radio in your backpack. But if you find a nicer backpack, you can actually put the radio on the special slot of the backpack and it doesn't have to take up stuff. So you can find like gear and stuff where you can have two guns on your back. Like I like, that's the realism stuff I like in DayZ, where in Tarkov, you can have two primary weapons because you swap between them. In DayZ, you can have two primary weapons on your back and one in your gun, but you can't swap because you don't have another place to put this one. In DayZ, you can have a backpack that's full and pick up a full backpack in your hands. You can't use your gun, but if you really want to get the loot home, you can like pick up the extra backpack. And it just felt like in DayZ and Tarkov, it feels really good feeling like you can juice up. It doesn't need to take it that far, you know.
Some people might have more information. They might have asked more specific questions, gotten more specific answers. I didn't ask.
Yeah.
That aspect never actually crossed my mind. I never kind of really got that far.
Which is fine. I'm just more talking my ethos on looting. Yeah.
I don't think anybody has enough information.
Yeah.
For anybody to feel anything yet. I just don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if what we saw was like, none of the things are there yet.
Yeah.
Or this is all there is.
This is,
or
I'd love to like,
we saw such a small subset of the game.
Yeah, for sure.
That it's really hard. The whole like loot cycle was not really a focus of this.
Absolutely understandable. Absolutely understandable. Yeah.
So yeah.
I'm more at this point. I'm more just talking about like my ethos on looting, and I've just seen enough of these. Like you know, we've talked about before enough of these Tarkov killers, LOL, come and go. And we've talked in the past a lot about some of the key things. I think that there are some key things that are really boring things gameplay wise that Tarkov has nailed down. You know what I mean? People have all this conversation all the time, like, man, Tarkov, the game sucks so much, but I keep coming back to it. You know, it's ruined other FPS games. I think it's because some of the really boring things they've nailed down. I said this when Marauders came out. I said it when The Cycle came out. I said it when DMZ came out. DMZ, I hated their inventory too. It seemed like it was just the regular COD Warzone one where it was just like five slots. You were throwing stuff in and out. And I was like, man, it's just got to feel good to loot stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah. However you want to do your loot. So, and that's a really boring sounding thing. You know what I mean? When we're talking about Unreal Engine 5 and expansive open worlds and persistent servers. So hopefully, just interested. I'd love to chat with them about it and see what their kind of ethos is because that is part of a larger conversation around like progression, not necessarily like progression as far as leveling, but like progression in the terms of just progressing through the game and getting more stuff and for what purpose to do what things. So all questions we don't have answered yet, in any stretch of the imagination. The only other thing is like I rewatched Rilo got to do an interview with Mara, which is like their Nikita, right? Like the CEO or whatever. And there were some interesting things that they talked about. One, it's on the table. This wouldn't be an early access thing, but it is on the table for custom servers, which would be literal S tier. Cause you think about like, you know, Smoke has some of the most like widely respected DayZ servers because the admins are cool. The cheating is kept to an unbelievable minimum. You know, there's people that are on it. He can tweak the settings. Like imagine being able to tweak the loot settings or how many PMCs are on the map or a few of those things and have server admins and, you know, cheating would be kept like it, dude. So oof, baboof. That sounds really cool. I hope they're able to do that. And then also one of the things I find the most exciting about the game is how you like move around and how you traverse, because like when you're done with that mission, you could go to your helicopter or you could just run back to the fob, when you're leaving for a mission, you could just run out of the FOB, or you can take a helicopter. When you were done with your mission, you had three different LZ points that you could take. Presumably, in what they talked about with the CEO guy, is he was talking about that there's like there's the bases that stay the same. This is always your faction's base. But in the map, there's going to be like checkpoints that a faction can basically take control over. And if you take control of that faction, that's another place where you can depot loot. Like your stash is shared between them all.
Yeah, yeah.
But your faction can lose control of that. So I just loved that as conceptually, like the ability, like the map kind of changes in where you can infill, where you can exfil, where you can depot loot, what kind of LZs you have access to. You know, it's so funny. I've heard some people say like, man, these helicopter LZs are going to be extract camped like crazy. And I find that funny because I'm not worried about that. I almost think that would be cool if that happened because big map, not so many players. Every mission has multiple LZs that the other team's not going to be able to see. It's not going to be like Path to Shoreline where you can prone in a bush there and someone's coming. You know what I mean? Like you can kind of you could call in the chopper, get sniped at, just not get on the chopper, run away into the bushes, and then just make the long trek back to an FOB or something like that. So I that kind of stuff, hearing him talk about that kind of stuff is pretty exciting in how the map can maybe change and flow and your access to things. And it's funny, it doesn't really look like it, but it's the game is inspired by Roadside Picnic, which is the book that the Stalker movie and franchise is based off of. And so like in the center of the map, there is a big red zone, and like they've literally talked about like anomalies and weird stuff, and I don't think it's going to be like a horror game or a super sci-fi like Stalker is, but I think it's going to be more sci-fi than what people think it is. And so there's just so much still we don't know. I'm so excited to get my hands on that, dude.
Yeah. I mean, all I saw was a very small part. All we saw was a very small part.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are the earliest access of issues. It's actually insane how early they gave us access while at the same time letting us be pretty much open with.
Yeah.
Like, I've done these kinds of things before, and it's almost always like you aren't allowed to say anything because.
Yeah.
They're usually like, we're afraid that it's going to look bad.
Yeah.
And so it almost goes to show like kind of the confidence I think that they have in their ability to like put it out there.
Yep.
Get the feedback, listen to the feedback, not let that, you know, I hope that the feedback that people or that like all of the content that was out there, I haven't watched any of it, honestly.
Yeah.
I hope that it hasn't made anybody like. It shouldn't make anybody worry.
No.
It also shouldn't make them like so confident it's going to be the greatest thing ever. It's to me, it's like it's encouraging and my excitement has gone up a little bit more.
Yeah.
While also knowing there are some potential
100% things. There's a million ways.
Nothing approaching a red flag, but like there are things that you know, will be hit or miss and we'll see what happens the next time around.
For sure. There are a million ways it could fall off the rails. But there's no giant red flags. And that was going to be my last question to you was how did you feel like what was the feedback loop like? Did they seem really genuinely interested in feedback? It's kind of a loaded question because I know they were like, I've heard a lot from the other content creators too. I saw somebody on Twitter say like, it's really kind of cool to see them retweeting and promoting people's videos that have feedback and criticism. Like everybody's video had the part in the video. They were like, but this is going to be make or break. This wasn't working really well. They really need to work on this. We provided feedback. They seemed really interested, really criticizing the game. Everybody was excited and everybody, you know, thought the game looked beautiful and had potential. But every single video I saw, if you watch anybody's, watch Operator Drewski's video. He took every word out of my mouth, everything I'm excited for, the potential of why I'm excited for those things, everything I was worried about watching the footage. He just like his video was like so well-rounded. And they're like retweeting it and stuff like that. So it was cool see that. They seem really interested.
The fact that we had the experience that we had and then they were like a fucking Google Doc with 30 questions all giving you a big open box with no character limit to say, how do you feel about X? You know, give us feedback on Y. And I did the Veritas fucking
dissertation.
All the different things. They wouldn't, you know, like we never did anything kind of like that, you know, for any other game that I've really been a part of.
No.
But that's what I used to do in software when whenever we do a test.
Yeah.
It was always we'd have someone video recording their experience so that we could go back and watch it. And then also there'd be an exit interview and all kinds of other stuff.
Yeah. Because
if you don't, what's the point of having the feedback if unless you're just there to pat you on the back and to see their reactions and then like we're just going to keep doing what we were doing, right?
Yeah.
So that was encouraging. And I straight up told them, like, I'm honestly not gonna make any content around this, explain my thing. And they basically were like, listen, like, that's why, you know, you were chosen because you're no bullshit. You're just gonna tell it like it is.
Yeah.
So, you know, they could have been.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, we chose you. We wanted you to
make
a
video. Advertise. Yeah.
Yeah. Make a video, whatever. Yeah. Overall, I'm encouraged.
That's cool.
We'll see what happens. I think, based on what I've heard, a lot of what my sort of opinion going forward is going to be is probably going to hinge on how things feel either directly through me or. Coupled with, you know, if I have some performance problems and I'm still on my old PC and everybody else is fine, then I'll ignore that aspect of it. But there's a lot of stuff that they've said that they've are working on that they've done. We'll see.
Yeah.
If they put their money where their mouth
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
If a gun to my head and I had to bet, I'd say they will.
Yeah.
But who knows?
But a big part of game development and a big part of early access game development is the first few times we have feedback, a statement or promise made, and then what's the follow-up of that?
Are they going to deliver?
Exactly. So, like, we can be really excited about Gray Zone where we are right now, but we have yet to have had an experience, provided feedback, them saying, yes, we are addressing that, and then what's getting delivered? And so the next few times, either there's play tests or it goes to early access or something like that, that's really going to, you know, be the tell. When they said, oh, no, we fixed that in that build. Is it still present? Is it worse? You know, that's the kind of stuff. Or are they crushing it where they say these are going to do? And then it's like, okay, well, now if I have an issue, there's just so much more confidence being like, okay, well, every time they've said they're going to address something, they address it. There's a lot of things to address. Maybe some things take time. But that definitely puts you in a different vibe for sure. So, I mean, it reminds me of the, I don't remember what game it was, but 2 weeks ago when we read that thing where it was like, what are we missing? Every statement ended with like, what do you think? What are we missing? Is this the right direction? And that's the vibe I'm getting from hearing people like Big Fry and Drewski and Clean and you talk to them is that the vibe is, what are we missing? What could we do? And not, here it is, you know?
Yeah.
So cool, man. That's exciting. I'm stoked. We'll see. I mean, everything, there's so many more questions. There's so much more. And, unfortunately we don't have any sort of like a hard day. We don't have a day for when early access is coming. We don't know if there's going to be more play tests or anything, but, we just knew that we wanted to kind of debrief a little bit from your experience now that the embargo is up and you could talk about your experience. And so, much excite. Before we dive into some of the other just like little, you know, news that has happened this week, I do want to take a second to thank the third and final sponsor for the podcast this week, and that is Factor. Factor is an online ready-to-eat meal kit. It shows up at your door. All you got to do is heat it up. Bada bing, boom, bow. Delicious, convenient. We've both had them before, and once again, convenience is a huge thing for me as a streamer who doesn't want to get up and cook a meal while I'm loading into a raid, right? Being able to just run over, start it heating up, play my raid. When I'm done, it's heated up and cooled down enough for me to eat. Like, boom, perfect.
Brother, I've actually been missing. I haven't had Factor in like the last couple of weeks, and it's been hitting me hard, man. I got Subway yesterday. Uber Eats, 2-foot-long sandwiches, couple of cookies, $57 from Subway, man.
What?
But it's like I didn't have anything super quick that I could make while I was streaming. My wife works from home. I paid $57 for 2-foot-long subs at Subway, man.
Jesus.
And I'm like, and someone in my chat was literally like, where's Factor? I'm like, I know. I need more. It's incredible how just...
It's crazy these days.
Ready-to-eat meals that are affordable, that are good, that isn't junk.
Yep.
It's man, dude.
It's awesome. So you can fuel up fast. They have all sorts of like add-ons too. Smoothies and all sorts of like additional things you can do. They send these like wellness shots that are like just tons
My
of...
My wife loves them.
Yeah. So good. Little stuff that you can drink to get a bunch of... goodness, but the smoothies were, I mean, I could live off those smoothies alone. Really good. Convenience is a huge thing for me. So super flexible schedule. There's over 60 add-ons and over 35 different options to choose from every week. So like every week you go in, you can have them like the convenience isn't overwhelming too. You can have them auto pick your meals for you, or you can go in and be like, oh, I want to look through all the 35.
You're picky like me. I pick everything.
Yeah, I'm picky too. Yeah. Meals ready in 2 minutes. It's awesome. So, and like you said, it can be, depending on your situation, depending on how often you go out to eat or do those other things like the DoorDash and stuff like that, it can be a money saver as well. So you can head to factormeals.com/podcast50 and use code podcast50 to get 50% off. That's code podcast50 at factormeals.com/podcast50 to get 50% off. Thank you so much to Factor for sponsoring this episode.
Yeah.
Okay, so some interesting other things happened in the gaming sphere this week. I saw you put it on here too. There was like the Apex tournament that just like fell apart. I actually don't know too much of the details other than Apex tournament. The people in the tournament, it looked like they were cheating. It was because they were getting hacked and the person was turning on cheats. They had to cancel the tournament. And for a second, it looked like Easy Anti-Cheat was compromised. But then apparently it's not been. But I don't know.
I don't know any of the details about that. I'm not going to say anything. I don't play the game. Don't really follow Apex. Yeah. All I know is that, you know, you see the clip of the streamer playing and all of a sudden wireframes and all the shit pops up. And you just think, oh, they accidentally all tabbed their cheats. Like, and now it seemed to me, I can generally tell, I'm a pretty good judge of, people and their acting abilities.
Yeah.
What the guy did in reaction to it was like exactly what I think I would have done. I'd be like, what the fuck? I'm just leaving. Right. Like, and that's like one of my biggest fears, dude, is like someone hacking my shit and then
for
making
sure.
It look, because what do you say?
What do you do, like, dude? It's like,
Clara, you know, like,
it's like the old fear. You know what I mean? That someone would pin a murder on you. You know, back in the day, they would get your fingerprints and put it on the gun. That's like the modern version of that. If in today's day and age, if you're live streaming, the internet ever forgets and wireframes popped up, dude. That's just GGs to a lot of people when that clip goes around. You know what I mean? That is my, dude, it's my nightmare situation. Like, oh my God.
Yeah. I saw that Pirate Software, who we've talked about before.
Yeah.
He's one of those people that, like, I've never heard him have an L take on anything.
Yeah.
So I'm actually looking forward to watching his video on it. Especially because, like, he has W takes on all the things that aren't even in his wheelhouse. That's his wheelhouse.
That is his wheelhouse, yeah.
And he actually had some interesting takes about kernel-level anti-cheat that actually was, for the first time ever, someone brings something fucking new to the table.
Yeah.
Now, I only saw, like, a YouTube short.
Yeah.
But he was basically saying, I don't want to misrepresent it, but my understanding was he was kind of like, you don't need to have a kernel level anti-cheat. I have problems with it. There's lots of issues.
Interesting.
I think he probably will talk a lot more about that in his video, or I'm assuming.
Yeah.
But yeah, I
That's cool.
I don't know, man. It just was a fucking hot mess.
Yeah, it was a hot mess. And just the literal nightmare scenario for a streamer, bro. Oh.
Yeah.
Literal nightmare scenario. Yeah, that was a woof. Not a whole lot happening in Tarkov land. I actually think it's like nothing. They didn't add any new cosmetics or anything. they didn't do any patches. There's a tournament, like a solo tournament. Yeah, nothing really happening there. They did show off, they tweeted out today some screenshots of a new arena map called Block. Which looks like a Streets of Tarkov city block. And I mean, it looks so cool. I mean, it's just like, if there's one thing you just can't ever criticize about Tarkov, it's their like map designers. You know what I mean? Now, you might be able to criticize some of the map design of the arena maps for competitive play. But if we're talking like aesthetic and vibe and consistency in their aesthetic, those guys should win whatever the Oscar is for game design. Like, those guys need to win it. Tarkov has had the most consistently phenomenal ambiance and aesthetic in their maps. And so this looks like exactly what I would want out of an arena map, which is like a Streets of Tarkov city block. It just looks so sick. The game is, you know, in a spot, in one of the spots of all time. So I don't know. But it looks sick. And then did you see they also tweeted out today, the arena account said, in order to collect feedback on the preliminary roadmap for Escape from Tarkov Arena updates, players now have access to a feedback form in the BSG launcher. The form will open automatically upon closing the game client. With the first iteration, 6 questions are available. Your feedback will allow us to provide work on various fixes and improvements. I'm interested what the 6 questions are, right? Because if the form is...
What flavor shit cake do you want? Yeah.
Yeah. Because at first when I read that, I thought it was just going to be like, provide feedback on your experience. But then when they followed with the subtweet saying, like, there are 6 questions, that means they're looking for feedback on specific things. So I haven't played Arena. I'm interested if those things are like, do you think the class system is working, or is it like, I don't know, something.
Yeah.
Not. So that's fascinating. But I don't know.
Yeah. I've done nothing. TBD.
TBD. But, yeah, that is it. Any other things?
Probably not. Anything that we'd want to get into today.
Yeah. Dude, Star Citizen. This is going to be the year.
Oh?
Yep. Gray Zone is going to launch and be perfect, and this is going to be the year for Star Citizen, and I'm getting dangerously close to overdosing on copium. So they're testing their... they're finally testing like server meshing and getting it in the game.
I thought they did that already though.
No.
Or was it just that they were working on it?
Yeah. Yeah. In 2012, no, maybe not in 2012. In like 2018, the roadmap that they were giving at their citizen cons were like, we're working on server meshing. It's the last thing we need to do to really turn this game into an MMO and into a game. And it is still not in the game. But they were doing some testing on a few things. They had a successful, like, super bare bones test. So what they it's crazy how many testing environments there are in Star Citizen, because Star Citizen is an alpha. And then there's the PTU, which is the public test universe, which is like where they test things.
Yep.
And then there's Evocati, which is basically a... You have to be asked to be a part of that. And it's like an even smaller pool where they test stuff that's under NDA. And then they have tech preview channels where they branch out the game to test for like one specific. It's crazy how many testing environments there are. But they had a successful like super bare bones test where they had the two star systems, Stanton and Pyro, on two separate servers meshed together, and people were going through the jump point from one to the other for the first time in history.
Okay.
And it was a success.
Great success.
Great success. For the longest time, I mean, this game is supposed to be an MMO, and for the longest time, the server pop was 50 players, you know, in a server with four planets, right? So, they, and like a year or two ago, they made it 100, but they were able to do 400 people on those two servers, and then they announced that this weekend, they're testing multiple servers within one system where each planet could be its own server, or even like a landing zone would be its own server. So it's still technically static meshing. Dynamic server meshing is where they want to get to, where like you could spawn a Kraken, which is a ship that would take 100 real players to crew, and like that would spawn in and become its own server. So like they have all this like scaling and dynamic server meshing, but static server meshing could be like we could see in the like if it goes well several hundred or even like thousand player servers in the map that we currently have, which would be kind of sick. So stuff is moving and shaking there.
Their ships were so sick. That was the one thing I always did. It was always like they're having this big weekend, and I would just go into this thing and you just see the fucking, it was like it was actually just overwhelming.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
You'd go see a thing and it was like it was the closest thing to like, oh, I'm actually in a spaceship, yeah. And I have to know like, where do I go for the cockpit?
100%.
Where do I go?
None of it is faked. Like the interiors, they actually are constantly like are adjusting the size of the ships before they get released because, the space has to make sense, and like engines and VTOL on certain ships, and certain ships do better in atmosphere, and they just look really cool. But it's just not a game. There's nobody in it. You know, it does. You can't do anything, and so. But what another interesting thing that they're doing, that they're going really hard on right now as a result of some of the footage I showed you from Squadron 42, it's like they want it to be the definitive space sim in terms of like flight combat, and they want it to be the definitive first person. Like they're completely overhauling their first person stuff with like their HUD and what information is shown, and they're kind of deciding how hardcore they want it to be. They kind of want it to be something in between, something like Tarkov and something like Call of Duty. They want it to actually there to be like punishment and all sorts of interesting stuff there. So they're like completely revamping the FPS combat and how all that works and how scopes work and how all that kind of stuff. It's fascinating to see some of that too. Like, bro, it's
seems like an interesting, I mean, it's not like where I would assume that they like would any innovation would be done would be like in this kind of game.
Yeah, probably not, you know? Innovation, but like, I don't think that there's been any games like this. Yeah, there's most space games just aren't focused on combat, like first person combat in any way. So even if it can just hang with AAA titles for the in first person combat, and then also you can just jump in your spaceship and No Man's Sky up out into the atmosphere with no land, with no loading screen, like that's pretty sick. So but obviously all that through the lens of Star Citizen is definitely a scam. It's never going to come out. It's pay to win. I know. I don't care. I will die on that copium hill, you know, somewhere between 3 and 30 years from now. I will be playing Star Citizen and it'll be great. But that's just the only other like gaming stuff. I love that. I just eat that stuff up, all the tech stuff that they're doing. And one day will be the return of, did you have a name for your character? Was it the original dad, the Star Citizen guy?
Yeah, Todd. The original dad.
Todd, the original dad. Yeah. One day there'll be a reprise of the original dad.
I mean, honestly, like I've just like turned my brain off so that like I don't have like the emotional.
Yeah.
Because when it's like what everybody says, what everybody's looking forward, it's like, hey, wake me up then.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, oh shit. You know what I mean?
And I feel like, I don't know that Star Citizen is ever a game, and who knows, right, that you would like hop in and spend 10,000 hours in. But I do feel like there will be a moment where, like, every time we're on, I'll just DM you and be like, dude, do you want to play some Star Citizen? And you'll hop in with us and have the greatest time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the greatest time. You know what I mean? And so that's what I'm excited for.
Like, playing any other game, Starfield, any other game that I played that was, like, a multiplayer kind of space game, it's not fun to just, like, tag along. But this game was like the moment someone I come across someone like your ship is sick. I'm like, yeah. Can I come? They're like, sure. And I would just walk around in awe. And it was just there was something about it that was so cool.
Yes.
That I never felt in any other game, even though like some of the like a lot of the shit in Starfield was they were cool looking ships and whatever. But there was just no depth into any of anything.
This will be the ultimate tag along game. Many of my play sessions have been like. If I play with, like, one of the other Star Citizen streamers or something, like, I played with Burks once, and I was like, dude, just take me on, like, all he does is bounty hunt. All he does is chase players down that are criminals and bounty hunts, and I'm just like, take me with you. Like, I just want to sit in the back of your ship. It's, like, the ultimate tag-along game. It's just fun to hang out with the boys, spacing it up. So, one day, that will be something that we do, and I'm very excited for it.
Hell yeah, dude.
We just need $600 million more dollars and we'll get there, boys.
Yeah, just need to land somebody on the moon IRL first before 2028.
Please.
That's the new target date, I think, for Artemis 2028? Or whatever.
For a man?
Yeah, for a man, yeah.
Oh.
So yeah, go ahead and wait for the next election.
Dude, that will be a funny clock. Like, will we get Star Citizen before we put a man back on the moon?
That would be buck wild. But dude, I've been playing I don't know how to pronounce it, if it's Balatro or Balatro.
Okay.
I think Balatro. It's a poker roguelike. And I'm now back into the addiction of the way I was for Vampire Survivors, for Binding of Isaac. Where you just start off with a 52 deck of cards, and you just build a deck. You play hands. You only have so many hands. You can discard, and you can get. And there's like a million modifications you can do. Kind of similar to it. Definitely has very strong Inscription vibes in terms of like some of the mechanics and the way that you modify. You have like a deck and you have cards, but some of the cards are like a golden card with a stamp on it. So they're like, you know, you can look at, you play this ace and the ace has like a 1 in 5 chance to be like a +20 multiplier on your score. And
interesting.
It's super fucking addicting.
That's cool.
Fantastic game. It's very, very good. And it's probably what I'm going to be playing for a while until I have burnt out on it. It's just so addicting to like, it's a game that that wants you to break it. Like, I watched a video last night of a guy that got, it was like 1.9. I feel like quintillion was too small of a number. Like, your first hand, you need to make like 300 points. Okay. You need to get like 300 points. Each of the hands is like, has different multipliers. So like a straight flush, it's like 100 times 8. And all of the cards that you play, like, have individual points assigned to them. So, you know, a straight flush with high cards is obviously going to be more points multiplied by the 8. So there's all these different little elements to it. But you play through, like, 8, basically, levels with 3 things in each level. And then once you get, if you beat that, you can kind of go endless. And then after that, it's like, okay, cool. You had to get 300,000 before. Okay, so now it's going to be 24 million to get to the next one. It's like, you want to keep playing? You fucking break the game, bitch. Like,
that's so funny.
And yeah, it's pretty wild.
Okay,
it's,
that's cool. That's cool.
It's addicting as fuck.
That's sick. That's dope.
Yep.
Balatro. Well, that is pretty much the stuff. That's your Gray Zone exclusive and some other gaming news. Thank you guys as always for hanging with us. If you want more content like this, we encourage you to check out patreon.com/thepodcastpod, where you can get early access to these episodes and even access to an additional episode exclusively for the patrons every single week. We love doing that. You guys are the best. Thank you for doing it. Thank you to BetterHelp, Athletic Greens, and Factor for sponsoring this episode. And yeah, we love y'all, and we'll definitely see y'all on the next one.
Peace.